Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the internet. Now let's get straight to the docket because we have a big one. First, it's official. Chad DeBell and Lori Vallow are joined for trial. Let's talk about the judge who's going to handle the case. Second, a fugitive has been arrested after 44 years on the run. Third, another teacher goes down. Fourth, more United States postal worker shenanigans. Fifth, the arrest for the death of actor Eddie Hassel. Sixth, if you're going to be a criminal, go big. Next, suddenly LeBron James likes the police. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening on our podcast as well. First, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live and put up new content. And as always, leave us a comment below. Now, first on the docket, it's official. Lori Vallow and Chad DeBell's cases have been joined. Yes, we had a hearing last week, and the judge in that particular case, Judge Boyce, decided that the cases should in fact be joined. However, the court did state that any motions for severance that are going to come up based upon inconsistent theory of defenses may in fact be made at a future date. We'll have to see how those issues get resolved here shortly when motions hearings actually come around. But for administrative purposes, the court decided that it makes sense to have one judge hear all of the legal issues so that there are consistent rulings. And if it's ultimately determined that there will in fact be a trial, if future motions for severance are not granted, that you have one judge handling all of the cases. As you may recall, Lori Vallow had two cases, one regarding the conspiracy regarding the delay and hindrance of the discovery of JJ and Ty Lee. And then she had the previous case, which started out regarding the abandonment case. Those cases have also been joined with no objection by Mark Means. That case that started out regarding the abandonment, which carried up to 14 years per count, those charges were dismissed when the conspiracy charges were added in the new case. And that original case simply has misdemeanor charges that remain. Obviously not a big issue. However, if all these charges are brought and the trials are in fact joined, assuming there's no motions for severance that are granted, there's going to be those additional charges to be heard that only relate to Lori Vallow. That's one of the arguments that Mr. Pryor, Chad DeBell's attorney, is going to have to make, that this extra evidence coming in is so prejudicial that it'll result in an unfair trial. We'll ultimately have to wait and see. Now, the judges that these cases came down to, Lori Vallow's cases were originally assigned to Judge Dane Watkins. And he has been a judge for about 9 years. And prior to that, he was a prosecutor for another 9 years prior to that. Not surprising, that's usually why people go to the prosecutor's office, is that they have some sort of aspirations to be a judge or perhaps a political position in the future. You just never know. And that obviously doesn't hold to all judges. I know many a private counsel that was a defense attorney that has become a judge. And I have found generally that defense attorneys do not make very good judges for defendants, because to make it as simple as possible, defense counsel have heard it all. Usually the defense attorneys are no nonsense and don't like excuses for delaying cases. They want to move it along and they've heard it all before. Prosecutors, surprisingly, are usually a little more sympathetic, for sure. Now, the judge that will be hearing all of the cases from here on out is Judge Stephen Boyce. He's a district court judge, but he hasn't been a district court judge that long. So Judge Boyce has only been a district court judge since his appointment back in May of 2019. He actually took the place of a judge who was appointed by the governor to be on the Idaho Supreme Court. Now, Judge Boyce was a magistrate prior to becoming a district court judge, and he apparently had been in private practice for a while. Now, what is a magistrate? All right, now in most jurisdictions, at least the ones that I'm familiar with, whether it be federal or the state, magistrates are not appointed by governor. They don't stand for retention. They serve at the pleasure of the chief judge. And what are magistrates there to do? Everything that no one else wants to do. For example, they put the magistrates in the first advisement courtrooms to advise everybody of all their rights, perhaps set bonds. They oftentimes get to go to traffic court, petty infractions, and the worst assignment of all, that's right, they could go to divorce court. That's right. That's where they send the magistrates to do the work that the district court judges simply don't have time to do. In the federal court, the magistrate judges, once again, apply for the position, and the chief judge and the judges on the bench basically hire them, and they handle primarily the civil matters in federal court. They do first advisements as it relates to people being arrested, showing up for court appearances when they've just been arrested, and they hear a lot of preliminary hearings and do a lot of arraignments. And then in the civil matters, the magistrates can hear trials. They handle all the discovery issues. It's all the stuff that's tedious, mind-numbing, that frankly, judges figure, why do I want to have to deal with all that nonsense? Discovery disputes between civil parties, it's the worst. So how does this relate then to Judge Boyce and how he will conduct his court? Based upon what I have seen, he obviously knows what he is doing. And I base that upon the limited hearings that we've had in front of Judge Boyce. He obviously seems to have a good judicial temperament. He seems to be fair, and he's going to be well-reasoned. He gets this, that this is a high-profile case, and he's going to make sure that his decisions are very deliberate and that they are supported by the law. Nothing more than a judge hates more than getting reversed. So he's going to do everything he can, since he's a relatively new judge, to follow the law. So what does that mean? It means expect the prosecutor to probably get just about everything that they want. Judges like to be on the side of the prosecutor, hoping that they are going to lead them down the correct path, but only when judges get burned a few times by the prosecutors do they start getting into their own. Fortunately, Judge Boyce has some experience as a magistrate, going to know all of the players involved here, and will know when to call BS on either party. So at the end of the day, what does that mean? Hopefully both sides get a fair trial. Justice will be served, whatever that may be, as far as a jury deciding what happened or did not happen. And hopefully no successful appeal. That's always the best thing for both sides. It really is, unless of course you're the defendant and you lose, but that's just the way it is. All right. We'll continue to follow that case. We're holding our standards high for Judge Boyce, but I think he's going to do just fine. Next on the docket, a fugitive has been arrested after 44 years on the run. Douglas Bennett, he's now 76 years old, and he was taken into custody at a home in Clearwater, Florida, on charges of passport fraud and aggravated identity theft. This was, of course, more than four decades after he disappeared, when he lost an appeal for a case back in 1975 that included convictions for rape, robbery, and kidnapping. Now, Bennett was a former college drama instructor, and he was sentenced to 9 to 18 years in state prison for attacking a 22-year-old Westerfield woman in her home on Valentine's Day in 1974. Bennett had famed attorney at the time, F. Lee Bailey, and F. Lee Bailey claimed that there would be new evidence that would clear his client on appeal. Well, needless to say, that didn't happen. The original case alleged that Bennett stormed into the woman's home in search of her father while wearing a mask and armed with a gun. He then apparently robbed the woman before dragging her outside and doing terrible things to her. And obviously, she was also then put into a car where he did terrible things to her yet again. And then it's also alleged that he had an accomplice who was never charged or arrested. Bennett ultimately lost his appeal back in 1976 when the state Supreme Court upheld his conviction the year earlier. He then became a fugitive, and in 1977, according to prosecutors, assumed the identity of someone who died decades earlier. How did Bennett get caught? He was identified after applying in July of 2016 to renew a passport of a 5-year-old boy who died near his former college in 1945. A fingerprint comparison confirmed Bennett is the same man who was convicted in Connecticut in 1975, and he also had a Florida driver's license with his photograph bearing false information. He now faces up to 12 years in federal prison for this. Oh, and not to mention, guess what? He's gonna have to go back and serve that sentence that he's been a fugitive on. There's no statute of limitations when you're on the run. You can run, but you can't hide. But it makes you wonder, why did nobody notice this for the last 44 years? Has this man never had a background check run on him? Did no one ever go to crimetalksearch.com, type in this guy's name, run his name, and determine, oh my gosh, the name that he's using shows that this person was deceased back in 1945? Come on, people. I'm telling you. Go to crimetalksearch.com. Everybody has a secret. And we saw that Mr. Bennett had a secret. And if you were to go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for that background subscription service, you can not only search Mr. Bennett, you can anonymously search as many people as you want to. And when you do that, you're going to get a report that's generated literally while you wait. And it's going to show information related to telephone numbers associated with the person, email addresses, as well as social media. You're going to get information regarding birth records, death records. You're going to be able to get records regarding one's criminal history, property records, divorce records, judgments, as well as marriage records as well. All the types of things you want to know about an individual. If someone can hide out for 44 years, it's possible you may not be dealing with the person you think you're actually dealing with. Go to crimetalksearch.com and sign up today. Next on the docket, for the second time this week, another teacher goes down. That's right, another teacher was sentenced for having inappropriate conduct with one of their students. Alyssa Gustafson pled guilty in September to one count of aggravated criminal sexual abuse after admitting that she engaged in a sex act with a 14-year-old boy who was a student while she worked at Circle Academy. This school serves children who struggle in traditional classroom settings. Now, the judge ruled that Ms. Gustafson was no longer a danger to the public, and that's why instead of imposing incarceration, she has to serve 4 years on probation and she will have to register as a sex offender for life. The judge stated that the sex offender registry, which he referred to as the modern day equivalent of a scarlet letter, would be a lifelong punishment for Gustafson, hence the reason why she didn't need to go to prison. It was alleged by prosecutors that Gustafson had at least 5 sexual encounters with the 14-year-old and that she is the one that began the contact back in March of 2019. Apparently, this is why you need to check your kids' Facebook and Messenger and Snapchat and every other app out there, because apparently the good teacher was sending photos of herself in bathing suits and lingerie. The mother of the 14-year-old stated that she actually saw Ms. Gustafson at their home, but believed that she was in fact there for a high school project. Oh, a project it was. Ultimately, mom realized that Ms. Gustafson was the teacher, oh, and was 24 years old. Needless to say, mom called the police, and here we are. Miss Gustafson now apparently works at a fast food restaurant and recently had a baby girl. She stated that she apparently made a poor choice in judgment and that she hurt a lot of people, and she would like to apologize for everybody for the pain that she has caused. That is a typical sentencing statement of a defendant who just doesn't want to be there and would like to move on, but probably doesn't have that many regrets, other than now she's a felon and she'll be on the sex offender registry for life. So for all the young teachers out there, or for the creepy old teachers out there, stay away from the children. Is it really worth it? I don't think it is. Stay away from the kids. Next on the docket, more United States Postal Service workers engaging in shenanigans. Prosecutors say Brandon Wilson, a worker at a post office in West Seneca, Erie County, which is located in New York, began stealing mail from his delivery routes and put them in his truck of his vehicle in September. Officials say that he's been stealing money sent in greeting cards and checks in areas of Buffalo. In total, it's alleged that Mr. Wilson stole 813 pieces of mail, including three absentee ballots that were supposed to be delivered to voters. Needless to say, these United States postal workers are going to get a lot of focus when people are saying, hey, I didn't get my mail. Now, I've told you about the one case that I had in federal court where I originally thought, this is going to be my first client that's going to be able to get probation in federal court. He was a postal worker who liked to take people's mail and not deliver it to them. He ultimately wound up going to prison for 1 year. The judge made sure of that. The judge came for a very rural county. It was Judge Mache who handled the Oklahoma City bombing trial. And he said, people rely on the mail. And if you can't trust the mailman, who can you trust? And the significance of that 1 year sentence was great. Because if the judge had given him a year and a day, he would have received pre-sentence confinement credit. The significance of the judge imposing 1 year versus a year and a day is that you don't get good time credit unless your sentence is greater than 1 year. I specifically asked for that. The judge says, oh no, 1 year. And what does that mean? That means he did the entire year in custody. If it had been a year and a day, he would have done about 8 months in custody versus the entire 12 months. When the judges know the rules, they know how to get you, that's for sure. So Mr. Wilson will give you the presumption of innocence, but man, just deliver the mail. You got one job. Just deliver it. Don't go pilfering little old people, sending greeting cards and birthday cards off to grandkids and giving a buck or two here or there. Really? Really? Mr. Wilson, I hope the judge gives you more than a year and a day, perhaps a couple of years. Next on the docket, an arrest has been made in the death of Eddie Hassel. Now, a teenager by the name of Dijon Antone, who's 18, was arrested on capital murder charges for the actor's death on Sunday. His bond has been set at $500,000. Now, Hassel, 30 years old, was shot in Grand Prairie, a suburb of Dallas, shortly before 2 a.m. on Sunday outside of his girlfriend's house. Police discovered the actor suffering from a gunshot wound on the scene. He was taken to the hospital and unfortunately was pronounced dead. The arrest warrants show that Hassel had been staying with his girlfriend, who told them that he had gone outside to her car to get something, and that car was then missing. Police said that surveillance footage from the girlfriend's apartment building show an unknown male believed to be in his early teens fleeing the apartment complex in a stolen vehicle. The vehicle is seen fleeing the location immediately after the shooting. Shocking. Doesn't take great detective work to figure that one out, right? Antone was identified by a witness, and police said as the shooter of the person who's also stole the car. We'll follow that case closely, but this just shows you, had this not been an actor that has been the victim of a completely random act of nonsensical violence, we probably would not hear about a case like this, or at least not talked about throughout the world. Only good that can come from anything like this, because clearly it was senseless, is that it lets people know, You have to always be aware of your surroundings. Have situational awareness of what's going on. If something doesn't feel right, get the hell out of there. It's unfortunate that somebody had to lose their life over a robbery for a car. Unbelievable. Next on the docket, if you're going to steal a car, go big. But you may want to find one with a little more maneuverability. Take a look at this truck. This is what they call a 6x6. It has not even dualies, but independent axles on the back. And it was actually Marshmallows, who's apparently a DJ, a famous DJ, goes by Marshmallow. And this truck cost, get it, $500,000. Apparently, according to the police, this not so genius of a thief stole this truck from a local Ford dealership the other day when it was there to be serviced. Apparently the keys were still in the truck, and the suspect, who rode up on a bike, threw his bike in the back seat and then took off. There was a wild chase with police that went through Los Angeles, and ultimately the driver was caught, that's right, in a Taco Bell drive-through parking lot. After pulling into the Taco Bell parking lot, it tore out and crashed into a utility pole while trying to make a turn. The suspect was arrested for felony evading and possession of a stolen vehicle. Teachable moment here, ladies and gentlemen. If you're gonna go into crime, might as well go big. Swing for the fence, go big. Instead of just a simple little junker you steal, maybe a little Honda or something, no. Go for the $500,000 customized truck that only celebrities could own. No one will ever bother looking for you. Trust me on that. Next on the docket, suddenly LeBron James likes the police and wants their help. This is the problem when you make absolutes, you come across looking silly. I have learned in my time here on the earth, you never say never, thinking it'll never happen to me. You also don't like to qualify things with always, because it doesn't always work out that way. There's always the exception to the rule. Now, LeBron James, obviously a very accomplished man, winner of multiple MVPs, NBA titles. He's made a lot of money, but he's come out with some pretty hard stances that basically saying that all police are in fact racist. And I think that we know that when you use the word all, always, is simply not true. And you never know when you may need the police. And our hearts go out to LeBron and his friend, because apparently LeBron is absolutely devastated about the killing of an Ohio woman and demanding that her killers be brought to justice. Obviously, the systemic racism that's in the system, hopefully we'll see if we ever get justice for this young woman. So on Wednesday afternoon, the basketball star tweeted about the murder of Erica Weems. That's the sister of his friend, Brandon Weems, and apparently they're so close that LeBron refers to him as his younger brother. Well, apparently, brother's sister was murdered this past weekend in her home, and James wrote that my brother and family need answers as to why and by whom. He further went on to state in his tweet that my city, I need y'all to go to work and find out who did this awful, shameful, disgusting thing to such a caring, loving angel. Hashtag justice for Erica Weems. Apparently, the family members found her deceased in her bedroom around 3 p.m. on Monday. The 37-year-old had suffered a gunshot wound to the head. Obviously, the police ruled the case a homicide, but they have no suspects as of this time. There is a $5,000 reward offered by the Crime Stoppers. You would think that perhaps Mr. James would add to that since he has a few bucks. But it goes back to one of the undeniable truths coming from a criminal defense attorney, and that's right. It never hurts to be nice. Yes, Mr. James, not all police are bad. There are some bad ones. You do not have to unfund the police. You need police accountability. Just like all things in life, reward the good ones, get rid of the bad ones. It's that simple. But to throw a complete blanket over all of them, to say they're all bad, is wrong, and you know it. And guess what? Here you are having to rely upon the very people that you demeaned and put down and called racist. It never hurts to be nice, Mr. James. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Then we'll give you the recap for all the dumb criminal contestants, and then you decide by leaving your vote down below in the comments. Please meet Gilbert Cordero. He is 23, and he has recently been arrested in Oklahoma City for you are not going to believe this. According to a probable cause affidavit, Cordero went into a sex toy store and apparently wanted to look around. And while he was doing that, he was looking at some of the merchandise on display. And he came across a device called an auto blow device. Don't think this is a hairdryer of some sort, but apparently it was all being watched by a store employee on video camera. And apparently Mr. Cordero, we'll give him the presumption of innocence, allegedly placed his private parts into the sex toy, that's right, the auto blow, and began thrusting his hips. He eventually returned the device to the shelf and walked away after the worker hid an alarm that they had inside the store. How did they know where to get Mr. Cordero when he was dashing away? Apparently the employee recognized him because he had previously applied for a job there, and so they just went to his application to get his name and home address. Mr. Cordero has been accused of committing an act injurious to public morals by making movements consistent with pleasuring himself while utilizing a sex toy device on display in a store open to the public. Who knew such things existed, and who knew someone was dumb enough to try it out in the store? Mr. Cordero, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and I'm telling you, you may just make it to be the winner for the week. But a quick recap, shall we? On Monday, we had Melissa Gonzalez, who stole the U-Haul truck, but got caught when she thought that it needed a little bit of a wash, and it got stuck in the car wash. Tuesday, we had Mr. Richard Rivers, who went into a pet store, stole a bag of birdseed, and then managed to put a parakeet in his pocket and walk out the door, all captured on video. Then we had our unidentified man who put a snowmobile on the top, perpendicular to the car roof, not strapped down. Cutting edge for sure. And then the other day, yesterday, Thursday, we had the man who wanted to boil his chicken in the geysers at Yellowstone. He has been fined as well as banned from being in Yellowstone again. Then again, we had Mr. Cordero here today on Friday, who was caught on video pleasuring himself with the auto blow device at the sex toy store. Please leave your vote below so that we can crown a winner. And what will the winner get? That's right, a Crime Talk mug of my choosing. Okay, I will decide which one they get from our large inventory of items in the storage room, but we will track them down through crimetalksearch.com and mail it to them, because frankly, people just weren't collecting their prizes, so now we have to send them out, and no one has responded with not even a thank you. Can you believe it? Leave your vote down below. Let me know. It's been a busy week, and you all now know what it feels like to be a trial attorney waiting for a verdict. It goes on. And the only thing that's worse is when you're waiting is when they say, we have a verdict. Now you understand. Have a great weekend. Don't forget the recap tomorrow. We'll see you next week here on Crime Talk. Be safe.